How's everybody doing? All right. If you can, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. Today's title is From the Depths to the Heights. We're going to be talking about God creating the things in the ocean and then the things in the air, the birds. And so let's go ahead and start off with that. In verse 20 it says, "Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and the birds multiply on the earth. And the evening passed and the morning came, making the fifth day." So I'm just going to recap the first 4 days real quick. So at the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void. It was just kind of chaos. And then God said, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness. Like I was mentioning, this light wasn't the sun. This light was God himself. This light came from another source. It wasn't the sun, because he hadn't created the sun yet. He saw that it was good. And then the evening passed, morning came, marking the first day. Then the second day, he created space. He created the atmosphere. He created everything that's between the waters and the heavens. He allowed it to where things can thrive on earth, to where animals, plants, everything that we have can grow and multiply and become strong. He saw that as good, and then that's the second day. The third, he created land. He caused all the waters to come together and formed land. Now, when we were talking about forming land, it could have been how it was in Pangaea, to where there was a solid mass, and then later on when the flood came, the land separated. Or God could have created them separate. But regardless of how it was, God wanted there to be life on earth. He wanted there to be plants. He wanted there to be vegetation. He wanted there to be animals, people, birds, fish. He wanted all these things. So he had to set it up for those things. So after he created the land, he then started to make vegetation. So why would he make vegetation first? Well, he had to give something for all the animals that he was going to create, the birds that he was going to create, all these animals and even us, things to eat, shelter. And so he has to create it in order in the way that we are to survive. So after he created the land, he created he created trees, gave them seeds, gave them the DNA markups in order to make that tree again. So then that was the third day. Then the fourth day, like we were talking last week, he created the universe at this point. He created the stars, he created the sun, he created the moon. The God, as big as he is, how he created everything, he then looks down on earth. He could have left earth alone at that point. But no, he looks in, and now we get to the fifth day. He's like, okay, now I want there to be life. I want there to be fish and everything else that's in the ocean, in the ocean. And what's interesting about that is just this last year, they found 3 new species of fish. One is, it looks like a giant tadpole. It's called a snailfish. It's illuminescent, it's transparent. And the thing about that fish is when they try to catch it and bring it up, because its body was designed for deep pressure, when they started bringing it up, the fish actually dissolved. The fish broke up. There's things called blobfish that are very hard for people to catch because of that. They're bottom feeders. And so when they catch them, when they start to bring them up, they are just blobs and they turn to goo. But yet, scientists want you to believe that evolution over millions of years allowed them to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Whereas these fish, that snailfish, as they're looking at it through cameras and the fact that it's transparent, you can see all the way through it, they see that there's very little bones in the entire body. It's mainly just a mass. And the only thing that's holding that mass together is the pressure that's around it. They found that fish at 26,000 feet below sea level. The world record but most deep sea divers, human deep sea divers, cannot go below 500 feet. Sperm whales only go about 9,000 feet. And so now they're able to find these things to be able to go down 26,000 feet and see what's down there at the bottom. And that's not even the deepest part of our earth. And the only way that those things could happen to be that way is by design. Now, fish are designed very different than most other things in the world. What allows the giant squid, the sperm whale, and all these things from being able to go so deep is the fact that they don't have air. I don't know if you guys know anything about pressure. I was actually, as I was looking into it and seeing why is that submarines can't go down further. Well, a submarine, when it fills with air, is filling with air at sea level. So the pressure of the air is sea level. And so what happens is when it starts to descend, the pressure on the outside becomes stronger than the pressure on the inside. For instance, if we were to go back to those doors, shut the doors, and me and somebody else of equal strength were to push on the door at the same time with the same amount of pressure, the door would not move. Now, get me on one side and get Brian on the other side. Brian's stronger than me. He looks stronger than me. Now, get us both pushing as hard as we can. Brian will most likely get the door to move. That's without me cheating and putting my foot against the bottom. But it's the same thing with the submarine, is that the pressure on the inside is so much weaker than the pressure on the outside. And so that's what would cause a submarine to collapse, to crush, is the pressure is unequal to such a point that the inside pressure can't hold it. So why do I bring that up? Fish, since they don't have air on the inside, water, you cannot compress water. Water, at the deeper it goes, it will stay equal on the inside as it is on the outside. So fish, they can go that far because they are balanced with nature. Like that song that we listened to, So Will I, how it says that when he spoke it into existence, that science is guided by God's voice. And what's interesting about it is that God set up all these different properties, all these different formulas, all these different things on how the world is to be ran. And so he created the mass. He created pressure. He created weight. He created all these different things for purpose. And since he is the creator of them and he lives outside of them, he can and sometimes does break them. He's not held to the same laws of physics as we are. So when he created fish, he wanted them to go deep. He wanted them to have a free rein in the ocean. Now, there are a lot of fish in the ocean that can't go really deep because they still need air. The one that can go deep that requires air is the sperm whale, but that's because its skin is mainly made up of water and fat. And fat is much like water to where it can't be compressed. It can't be crushed. It will move. And then their lungs are so big that as they go deeper and it compresses, they're able to withstand the pain of it. They're able to withstand the longevity of having to go deeper and deeper. And sperm whales, they eat giant squids. I did not know that. That's pretty crazy. And so they have to go down that far because God designed them to go down that far. He allowed their bodies to absorb the water around them to change the buildup of what their body is like. That is how meticulous our God is. That's how much he pays attention to the details of everything that he creates. He created our earth with a gravitational pull, knowing that the closer you get to the center, the stronger that pull is going to be. And so he designed creatures to go down that deep. Now there are trenches that are deeper than we can ever go. Well, can't say ever. Deeper than we can go right now. 26,000 feet they were able to make it to last year. And they found three new species. Imagine what it's going to be like when they go deeper. That the God of creation, how he created light, it wasn't going to be able to make it that deep. So not only did he then give them their own way of lighting it up, many fish that far down pretty much have no eyes. Many scientists believe that they run off of like sonar. That's how they're able to determine where they're at. A thing that the world, that people have just been introduced to in the grand scheme of things. It's only been about 70, 80 years that we've been able to have sonar. And it's still nothing compared to what nature has. How many of you have ever seen a bat fly at night? How many of you have ever seen them almost hit a wall and pull up? I've seen them almost hit my house when I was living in Santa Maria. And not only did they pull up, then they went around the eave like it was nothing. Bats run off of sonar. They can see so much clearer at night than we can. God designed it that way. He looked at the fish and he said, okay, I'm going to design them to be able to withstand everything that is in the ocean. And then he said, not only am I going to design them, I'm going to allow them to live. Now I want them to reproduce. How many of you have ever had goldfish that started having babies? Okay, well, how many of you, your goldfish don't even last more than a week? And they're probably not even dead when you flush them down the toilet either. But goldfish, when they have babies, their eggs are inside their body. It's pretty interesting when they start pooping out babies. Or how many of you have ever seen the Nature Channel, Natural Geographic, where they show seahorses having babies? It's pretty amazing. The mom, they have hundreds of babies inside them, and they're just kind of cruising along, and little babies are popping out. Literally, like little itty-bitty seahorses are popping out of their body. It's pretty amazing. But God said, look, I want them to be fruitful. I want them to multiply. Fish have tons of babies. Most of them do. There are some that only have one or two. Those are usually your porpoises and your mammals there in the ocean. But most fish, they'll lay eggs and they'll multiply like crazy. So why would God design fish to multiply that quickly, that effectively? Because he designed them for us and mine. He designed them for the other fish and mine. He set up the food chain when he created all the animals. He wanted this life, this world to be self-sufficient. He wanted this world to become the way it is. And then he took those fish. He said, you know what? I'm not done with today. He already created probably over a million species in one day. And he says, I'm not done. Now let me create birds. And birds are designed completely different than fish. So it's not like he just did a cookie cutter. He designed them completely different. He designed their bones to be hollow. He designed the feathers. He designed the way that their body is shaped to allow them to fly. The wingspan that they have to be able to hold up their body. But not only did he design them to be able to fly, and then he put the instinct in them on knowing how to fly. How many of you have ever seen little baby birds in a nest? Right outside my house, I had those swallows that like to make those mud nests. Each year I'm like, oh, as soon as they leave, I'm going to break it down. I don't want them there anymore. But each year that they come, we love to look up there. I love to hold the kids up there. They see the eggs. And then a little bit later, we start hearing the little chicks. So I hold them up there again. The chicks are up there. Then the mom and dad come in and out, in and out, in and out all day long. And then you start to see like six or seven of them in this like little itty-bitty nest where they're just laying on top of each other. And the next thing you know, they're gone. It's always interesting watching them as they take their first leap of faith out of that nest. Do you think the mom's in there saying, okay, little junior, this is how you fly. You put your wings out, you flap. No, they just know how to do it. They figure it out. It's built into their DNA. It's built into their instincts. God designed them to know how to fly. God designed their body to fly. Evolution likes to tell us that a single-celled organism became a multi-celled organism over millions of years, and that multi-celled organism became a slug. That slug then became some fish lizard thing. That fish lizard thing then became a frog that then walked out of the ocean, then became a land lizard, then somehow morphed again into a primate and every other creature that we have on the earth. And eventually we came. But yet, when we look at, or we listen to science and they talk about DNA, and they talk about how things are, every single thing has its own DNA structure. and we start to look at us compared to fish, our DNA is not the same. Not even close. The ones that they say that we are closest to are primates, are apes. Yeah, I don't see apes out there building houses. I don't see apes out there setting fires to keep themselves warm. And so how evolution, how it tries to tell us that where we came from, there are so many missing parts that they have to just say, we made a jump in evolution. There is an evolutionary jump. The problem with there being an evolutionary jump is that if something is created different enough in the animal kingdom, by instinct, they will reject the baby. Primates don't do it as much. Primates will actually take on other animals and actually raise them. But most other animals, and I've seen it with cats. If there's a cat, a kitten that's born that has a defect, the mom will reject the kitten. In fact, I found a kitten at my dad's house. I just happened to be going over there one day, and there's this kitten wandering around his garage, like a brand new baby kitten, like stumbling along, still had its eyes sealed. It was still kind of nasty and wet. So I took it. We named it Death. Grim is actually what we named him, because he looked like death. He didn't last very long. But we took him home. We tried to care for him. Because the mom rejected it, because of something that the baby had, the mom didn't want to take care of it. Now, we found the litter. She was taking care of the rest of the kittens. And if a kitten does get out, the mom will go and grab the kitten and bring it back. But yet the mom rejected it because there was something wrong with it. And according to science, any evolutionary step would be something is wrong with the baby. And so, in nature, nothing would have been able to survive to make another spawn or another child. And so evolution has to have, like I said, you have to take logic out of it. Because the easiest logic that you can see is that everything is designed different. Fish are designed completely different than birds. Birds are completely different than land animals. Land animals are completely different than humans. Humans, we are not the strongest creatures in the world, but yet we are at the top of the food chain. The Bible even talks about how animals have a natural fear of man. And how in the end times, that fear will go away. And so when we look at how God has designed it, and we can see exactly how He puts everything into motion, how He designed every single thing to be different, and then not only did He design them different, He gave them their own DNA code. He said, okay, now here's the blueprint to recreate this. Go and do it. Now, how many of you have ever looked at a DNA strand? I'm talking about, obviously not in real life, but like on all those different science channels. How many pairs are there? Huh? 24? Okay. How many pairs are there in a DNA strand? It depends on which helix, right? So it's not, the DNA strand is not something that's simple, right? It's very complex. It's what tells us what color hair we have, what our skin color will be. It'll tell us our height. It'll tell us a lot of diseases that we may get that we're more susceptible to. It says every single thing about us. If they were to stretch it from end to end, it would be hundreds of miles long, if not millions. I believe that one, if you stretch it from end to end, you can get to the moon and back. If you stretch out the code and thought about every single aspect of your life, I'm talking about every single aspect, every molecule of your life, of who your body, how your body is designed. God said, I want to design it personally. Fish, I want their DNA to be this way. And yet we think that he doesn't care about us. Whenever I read the story of creation, I get this feeling, and I get this overwhelming feeling about how much God loves us. Yes, he's a big God, but he loves us so much that he took it all the way down to the smallest level to design us. When it talks about him creating man out of mud and then breathing life into it, it's a little bit more complicated than that. He made it simple for people to understand. But he designed each and every single one of us different, unique. And as science continues to progress, as science continues to reveal new things to us, how can we not see that there was a designer involved? How is it that a bird knows what size, or how is it that a bird's body knows what size of egg to lay? Does an egg grow after it's laid? Does a bird egg grow after it's laid? No, it stays one size. And yet that size is perfect for an embryo to grow. And when the embryo grows big enough to break out of it, that embryo can live in the world. And next week, as we talk about the land animals, that's a whole nother thing when it comes to birth. How God has designed every single thing. And when he looks at your life, he says, I want to help you design your life. I want to help shape you. I want to help grow you. I want to be there in every single moment, every single heartache that you go through, every single triumph you have, every single thing. He wants to be there with you. He numbered the hairs on your head. I get bored if I have to number something that goes beyond 20. And yet, he numbered the hairs on your head. Like looking at Brian, that's a lot of hairs on his head. I'm sorry, Brian, you're seen right there. This is if you sit in the front row, I see you the most. Whereas, like my Uncle Ed, he didn't have a lot of hair on his head. But he still took the time to number them. He still took the time to decide where they go, how they're going to grow. If you're going to have curly hair, straight hair. When he designed the birds of the air, which ones had feathers, which ones didn't? Why are some able to fly and why are others not? He could have done a cookie cutter and said, okay, you just look red, blue, green, yellow, turquoise, multicolored. He could have just done that, but no. Every single bird is designed different. Different size beaks, different shaped beaks, different size talons, different size wings, different shapes of feathers, different everything. Every single part of them is designed different. And it's amazing how God, he didn't want this world to be ordinary. He wanted it to be extraordinary so that we would know that there was a creator, that there was a designer, that there was somebody that took the time to design this world and everything in it. How many of you like housing tracks? Like, how many of you like to go in there and go, wow, when every single house is the exact same? After a while, you're driving around, it gets boring. You lose interest. Nothing is unique about your house at that point. So what do? As soon as you get a house, what is it that you do? You go in and design it. You change the inside. You put plants, you put trees, you put all these things on the outside to make your house look unique. You take the hundreds of hours that it's going to take for you to paint your rooms, to change the flooring, to change the outside. Then you get to decide if you want grass or gravel or astroturf or whatever it may be. And we do that to make our house unique. And that's what God did. He set up a basic design and says, now I'm going to make each one unique. The fact that no two DNAs are exactly the same. Out of a world of billions of animals and species and living things, not any two are exactly the same. Because he wants you to understand that you are special and you are unique. That he designed you personally. You're not like anybody else. Your personality is different than everybody else. You can have similar personalities, but your personality is who you are. And he wants to take that personality. He wants to use it. He wants to say, you know what? I got something specifically in mind for you. His design doesn't stop at just creating you. Like I said, he wants to be there every single step of the way. As baby Noah is growing, and I'm going to use him as an example because of this morning. As he's growing, his personality is going to change. It's going to morph. It's going to develop. And God is saying, look, I want to be there. That's why in the Bible it says, train up your child in the way of the Lord. Because God wants to be at every aspect of our life. He doesn't want to leave us alone. He's saying, look, as you're growing, I want to be there. As you're learning, I want to help you learn. That's why then, after Jesus died and he left, he says, look, now I'm going to send you a helper, because he didn't want us to be alone. He's saying, look, I created the heavens and the earth. I created the fish and the birds. I created the depths and the heights. And now I want to help create you. We are all flawed people. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all are horrible, wretched people. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter how good you think that your deeds are. The Bible says that there is not one that is righteous. Not one of us. We're all in the same boat. And God says, look, I get that you're not perfect. I get that you're going to make mistakes. I get that you're going to turn your back on me time and time and time again. But yet I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. In fact, I want to talk with you every single day. I want to live inside you. He doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to look at creation and see his love. He wants us to look at creation and see his majesty. He wants us to look at creation and be in awe of who he is. And it's amazing what they're finding at the bottom of the ocean. It's amazing how different fish look. How many of you like to look at fish when you go to like PetSmart or Walmart or anything? But how many of you just like to look and don't actually want one because of how expensive they are and sensitive, fragile? I never got why people buy or pay hundreds of dollars for a fish that then you have to take care of like it's a baby. Its pH levels have to be perfect. Everything, its ecosystem has to be perfect in order for this fish to survive. And if it dies, you just lost hundreds of dollars. But we like to look at them. They're pretty. They're nice. They, like the neons, I love little neons. You put a black light in there and they just look cool. You know, betas with their big wavy tails. Obviously, don't put two of them together unless you want to start a fish fighting ring. Sharks. How sharks are designed. How they move through the water so carelessly. How if they want to, they can increase their speed on a drop of a hat. Dolphins. I remember being on a cruise and watching, they always show it like off of the bow, but it's all, if you go to the back of the cruise boat, cruise ship, you also see them in the wake of the water. They're just, it looks like they're having fun. And how they just come out of the water so effortlessly. How the shape of a dolphin and the shape of a shark are very similar. And the fact that they have the dorsal fin, they have all the basic shape is different until you get to the tail. A shark's goes sideways, a dolphin's goes up and down. And they do it for very specific reasons. Their bodies are designed that way. I want to say that like all fish are like Dory, to where they forget everything. They just don't seem like a very intelligent creature. But I'm sure they are. But it's awesome how fish are designed different. Where those angel fish that have like the real wavy dorsal fins and everything, and they just look majestic. They look like they're like royalty in your little aquarium. Then you have suckerfish who just eat the scum off the bottom and off everything else. And it's amazing how God designed it. God designed the ocean to be self-sufficient. It has the ones that are cleaning it. It has the ones that are dirtying it. It has the predators. It has the prey. It has everything that is in it to be self-sufficient. And then he created birds. I hate birds. Especially seagulls. I hate seagulls. I wish I could just kill them all. But I went to Aurora Grande High School. Aurora Grande High School had seagulls everywhere. And they're pooping on everything. And then when I lived in Oceano, they're pooping all over my car. Hated them. Hate those things. But how they learn and how they adapt is still amazing. They know that people are gross beings, that they're going to leave stuff for them everywhere. And so they go where people are. But then how they're designed all different. A pelican is designed completely different than a seagull. A seagull is designed completely different than a vulture or a condor or an eagle. They're all designed completely different. Some eat seeds, some eat meat. Same thing with humans, I guess. Some eat seeds, some eat meat. I'm a carnivore. I love meat. I couldn't be a vegetarian or a vegan. I love my gluten. I love GMO. I'm sorry. Whatever they do to it, I don't care if it's killing me. It tastes better. But it's amazing how every single thing that God created, he created differently. But yet he created humans with something very similar in common. He gave us a soul. And he says, I want to be with that soul. I want to live with that soul. I don't want to punish that soul. I want that soul to have life eternal. I want that soul to be in heaven with me. I want that soul. So then he said, the sacrificial system that I set up isn't enough. He already knew that. When he set it up, he already knew that the sacrificial system was not going to be enough. So he said, you know what? I will die on their behalf. I will take their place. I will bear the punishment for them. You may be unique, but we all have something in common. We all have the love of God on our side. We have a God that cherishes us and wants to keep us. We have a God that wants to help you with your finances. We have a God that wants to help you with your addictions. We have a God that wants to make things right in your life. And then once he's done with you and he looks at you and he designed you in mind, he said, he looked at it and saw that it was good. When he died on the cross, he saw it and said that it was good. As much as we like to think of pain and suffering not being good, God saw that it was what was needed. And as we take communion this morning, that's the whole point of what we are trying to remember, is the fact that God saw what he did on the cross and saw that it was good. He said, this is the only way. And what's awesome is the fact that what was his last words before he died? It is finished. Or done. Or whatever finalized word you want to put there. He says, we're good. When he said it was finished, he saw it was good. He conquered death so that we wouldn't have to experience it. Yes, this body breaks down, this body dies, but our spirit doesn't. He doesn't want us to be in torment. He wants us to be in life. He wants us to have a life that is out without pain, without suffering, without blemish, without disease, without heartache. And the only way that we'll have that is not here on earth. I'm sorry, here on earth, we're going to go through some crap. We're going to have to deal with the nastiness of this world in order to get to perfection. The Bible even talks about how we are being made into perfection. And so, are you trusting in God with every aspect of your life? The good, the bad, the hard, the easy, everything. Are you trusting in God? Because how meticulous he was at designing you, designing the world, designing everything. He's just as meticulous about wanting to live your life with you. All the way to the point where he wants you to be in certain spots at certain times. He wants people to come into your life at certain times. It's been amazing these last few weeks and months as Alice and I were getting things ready and God is revitalizing us with what we want to do in ministry and the new people that we're getting to meet and the things that are just seeming to fall into place and things at work are just not perfect, but we're starting to see where God is having his hand and how he's taking care of things. And when we look at that, we can see just how meticulously he looks at our life. Don't be afraid to ask God. Humble yourself before him. Take away your pride. Allow him to come in and guide you. And I guarantee you that your stress level will go down. But you have to trust in God. If you just say, God, take care of it, and yet you don't follow through with following after him, then you're going to be thinking that God's letting you down. Allow him to become the perfect maker in your life. Let's pray and gain communion. God, we just praise you for this morning. I just ask that you would go before us, allow us just to remember exactly how you created this earth, how much detail you put into it, and how you want to put that much detail into our lives. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that you show to us every single day. We thank you for your creation that we get to see the beauty of each and every single morning, evening, every second of every day. And ask that you would just strengthen us as we go our separate ways. Allow us to be an encouragement to each other. Allow us to help each other. And allow us just to give all the glory back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not leave. We are doing communion. All right. I'll let you guys pass it down. There's enough for you. Didn't know if the teenagers were going to pay attention. Should want juice. Got to weigh on the slow poke. Got to weigh on the slow one. You can still remember the body. I don't need such a big piece. And as we take communion, it's to remember what he did on our behalf. And to go in with the theme of everything that we have from the details that he did, how much detail he put into his own death. The fact that he even told his people exactly how it's going to be. How he's going to go through a trial, how he's going to remain silent, how he's going to be accused for a crime he didn't commit, how he was going to be an innocent man, how he's going to be put into a borrowed grave. Every single aspect, every single detail he thought about. And he wants that same amount of detail in our life. That's why he wants us to remember it. He's saying, look, I did this for a very specific purpose. And that's why it's so important for us to remember what he did on the cross. So that we can be in awe of the amount of detail that he wants to put into our life. And God, we just thank you for your body that was broken on our behalf, the stripes that you bore to forgive us of our sins, the pain, the humiliation, everything that you went through on our behalf, how you thought about us every single aspect and how you love us. And as we turn our backs on you, you call out to us. We praise you for that. I ask that we would remember that and not forsake it, not take it for granted, but just be in awe of how much you love us and how much you care for us. Go ahead and take up the bread. And God, we praise you for the blood that was shed on that cross, the forgiveness that you've given us through it, how you became that spotless lamb, how you were innocent, you deserved none of it, but yet you went through it gladly. How you thought all the way through. We praise you and glorify you and ask that we would not take it in vain, but yet we would remember your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace every single day. Go ahead and take the cup. And God, we just praise you again for this service. We thank you for the honor of being able to dedicate Noah to you. Ask that you would be with him and his family. Allow them just to become a greater family of God. We thank you for your provision in our life and ask that you'd go before us and light that path before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you all have a good day.
All right, have a good week.
You too.